Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 11:09 a.m. and that is Central Time. Today is July 13th. I'm recording a bit earlier today because I have to head to the airport, and I thought that it would kick off with China. Enthusiasm is growing around the potential that the Chinese will do something a bit more concrete to support the economy. It's inevitable. They don't really have a lot of choice. It's really only a question of magnitude. And I think the stock market is not only taking that into account, but also the fact that the USA is probably at the peak of the interest rate cycle itself. So one more hike in July, and that might well be it. So that's positive. And the knock-on effect of a more positive attitude towards China was a more concrete move higher by copper. So the price now is back and back approaching the $4 area. But perhaps the more important point here is that prices have been relatively stable. And the sequence of higher reaction lows from the low back in the middle of last year was broken. It did find support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average and the 350 area. Now, there are obviously, because of this rangy environment, there are very vociferous arguments around the outlook. On the bull side, you have the potential for demand to double over the next X years in response to the build-out of renewable energy and the electrification of the entire economy, and particularly transportation. On the bear side, you have China and their inability to continue to build infrastructure that they've built enough already, and that it's impossible to sustain that growth rate. So that has contributed to a more rangy environment overall. But at the moment, the bullish aspect is gaining adherence. Now, I saw an article today talking about artificial intelligence and how it's being used in prospecting. And I was reminded of the talk that Robert Friedland gave at the Future Minerals Summit a couple of years ago, where he did a fantastic job of getting everyone excited about the prospect of a massive new mining boom, and that there was no mines being built, and that we were back in a supply inelasticity means rising demand environment. And Ivanhoe has been consolidating in a very impressive manner and hit a new closing high in here today. It hasn't quite broken out of this range that's been forming for the last 7 months yet, but it is certainly looking more impressive. Now, when we then also just pay attention to the other big announcement that he made at that summit was around Ivanhoe Electric. Now, what he was basically saying is that the Oyu Tolgoi mine in Mongolia was found using the technology that is now being propagated through this offshoot of Ivanhoe, which was that they would basically run electricity between two points in the ground, and using the conductivity data that came back from it, they could, or at least they were able to find porphyry deposits of copper. And they've been, of course, that was nearly 20 years ago. So we're not talking about technology that is brand new, but that in fact, what they're trying to do now is reap some rewards out of it, having made a big discovery using it. But importantly, the share, having IPO'd last year in the teeth of a bear market, basically just went sideways. Now it is pushing up to test the highs from back in March. And I do think that there is the clear potential for innovative prospecting to become more of a factor. And I think that using satellite data with drilling data, with conductivity data, then we will. There are clear potential possibilities that companies will find new large deposits, and those new large deposits are absolutely essential. Now, it's not just copper that is moving on the upside here. Oil prices have also exceeded the $80 area. So this is a breakout from this inert short-term range, and the price is now approaching the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, there has been a rivetingly consistent sequence of lower rally highs since really March of 2022. And it's going to take more than one day on the upside to break that negative downward bias. So we're at the, well, I would say that this is the second area of potential resistance. The upper side of the range was the first. And it's going to have to sustain a move up and through the $80 area. And we're just about there right now. But above the 200-day moving average, I think would begin to convince a lot more people that we're back in a more sustainable bullish environment. And natural gas prices have been going sideways, having collapsed down from very elevated levels to about $2. Now the price is pulling back from the $3 area, and this looks like the potential for base formation development. Then ExxonMobil today announced that they were going to buy Denbury Resources, and that's a carbon dioxide pipeline company. I think the fact that that happened on the same day that Shell is talking about selling a stake in their renewable energy projects tells us exactly where the direction of travel is in the energy sector. Now, carbon credits have been mostly going sideways for nearly 18 months. And every time they drop down, they find support. We have to remember that this is a government-sponsored market. And whenever prices decline, then they're likely, in a big way, they're likely to be a buying opportunity because supply will be limited in order to support the price. The reality is that carbon is a government-sponsored commodity. It really only has value provided governments ensure it does through regulation. So it's a regulatory arbitrage portion of the market. And I think that is at least a viable way of thinking about how to position a portion of a portfolio, that there's going to be growth quality, there's going to be value aspects to any part of the market, but then you have regulatory arbitrage is something that is sort of outside of any one of those particular parts of a portfolio. Now, when we look at the wider stock market, the S&P 500 is in positive territory, pushing on to test the 4,500 level, and this is a clear breakout. So investors are, I think, more enthused around the potential that the lower interest or the potential that the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle will contribute to a more benign economic environment. Now, when we look at the advanced decline line for the NYSE, it did push up to a new recovery high yesterday. So that was a broad-based move on the upside. And this is encouraging action, and it suggests that it's not just a few shares are now participating in the recovery, but that more companies are participating. And that is a positive factor, and it is likely to further ignite bullish interest in the wider market. When we think about what was the driver of the bearish environment in 2022, it was rising interest rates. And any interest rate sensitive portion of the market really took it on the chin because the 10-year yield went from 1.5% to almost 4.5% in the space of about 9 months. Well, now we have clear evidence of failed upside breaks above the 4% level. We've had three in the last 9 months, two this year, and with the speed with which yields are coming down right now, then if yields fall again tomorrow, we could be looking at another downside key reversal. So there is obviously the specter that we could move from a lot of inflationary fear to deflationary fear, that the CPI might not just trend downwards, but might continue to trend downwards and approach, instead of approaching the 2% prior peak, might go straight down through it. I remain very much of the view that quantitative tightening contributes to deflation. And the total assets of central banks has been contracting. And it popped on the upside with the big infusion of liquidity in first with the UK, with their pension system, but most particularly in March. And subsequently, the Federal Reserve has been reducing the size of their balance sheet. When we aggregate all of that data, then what we are presented with is an environment where global liquidity is contracting, despite the fact that we've had a strong rebound in the mega cap shares, and we still have evidence with the advanced decline line of the market improving here. The stock market more generally is pricing in the clear potential that we are in the best of all possible worlds, that artificial intelligence will solve most of our issues. Certainly, when we think about some of the material sciences, whether that is in mining or in medicine, then artificial intelligence is certainly something that can be beneficial. Now, when finally this central bank balance sheets chart is loaded, and it has rebounded over the course of the last couple of days. Now, the important thing to pay attention to with this particular index is that it is US dollar denominated. So the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet, but the dollar is falling faster. So it is improving the dollar value of all of the other central bank balance sheets. And the dollar index is now back below 100. Now, this has been a very dynamic move on the downside. So we have to at least pay attention to the fact that that was a big peak back at the end of last year. We have a sequence of lower rally highs. 100 was a big psychological resistance level between 2015 and 2020. Then subsequently, it was exceeded. Now the dollar is coming back down. That is making commodities more attractive. And of course, gold prices are steadying from the region of the 200-day moving average. They're only in mildly positive territory today. So the move yesterday was pricing in a weaker dollar overall. Then, of course, we have the rebound that we've begin to see in the gold mining shares, and they've exceeded the 30 level, and this is clear confirmation of support in the region of the upper side of the preceding base formation. The big challenge, of course, was that big decline in 2022, which pushed back down into the base formation and questioned the recovery potential for a lot of investors. But unfortunately, we don't always get picture perfect chart patterns. And the reality is that they can get messy, and particularly when we're dealing with commodities, then they are best bought following significant reactions. Then silver prices also have broad first step above the base characteristics. And this is a really quite dynamic move on the upside over the course of the last couple of days. So, certainly, we're in an interesting environment here with the dollar declining. But what the dollar decline also does is make emerging markets much more attractive. So, as we then think about China has been doing better, but the emerging markets ex-China pushed on to a new recovery high in here today and is now demonstrating the ability to move above the 1,000-day moving average. So there is clear potential that we're going to see more interest flowing into emerging markets and flowing into commodities. And India has been one of the leaders in terms of performance of a large emerging market, and it's a little overbought in the short term, but it is continuing to hold this break up to new highs. A lot of Latin American countries start to, or their finances start looking a lot more attractive when commodity prices are rising and the dollar is falling. And the Mexican ETF was in positive territory as well in here today, up about 1%. And then Brazil is also going to be a country that would thrive in a rising commodity environment. So the iShares MSCI Brazil ETF is now testing the region of the 1,000-day moving average. If we are at the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle, and Brazil is going, I think, is likely to be among the countries that rate that cuts rates first, then it's the small payments companies will be among those that benefit. So PagSeguro is starting to steady within this base formation, and we have a lot of commonality for the buy now pay later companies too. In the USA, you have Affirm, and it's also got these this base formation characteristic, and was in rather sharply positive territory over the last 4 days. It hasn't quite yet broken up through the $20 area, but this does look like a base formation. And then Block has got a very similar pattern overall, and then PayPal, which was tarred with the same brush but is a very profitable company, it is now also rebounding. Hasn't quite got the same convincing or quite as convincing base formation characteristics, but it is now testing the region of the 200-day moving average and the sequence of lower rally highs. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.